This is part of the restoration series from Themes, Sukkot Themes, the return of the king, the first day. The first day. Let's look at Zechariah 14, which is one of the readings for this year. On that day, behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against the nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north and half of it towards the south, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountain. For the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Now let me talk about the valley of the mount Zazel. This is the ridge, the Mount Scopus ridge that goes into the Mount of Olives that comes from the east. You can see over to Jordan from there. And this particular strategic location must be taken before you can take the city of Jerusalem. And this mountain, this is going to be cleaved and moved half to the north and half to the south into the Azel. Azel is in the wilderness towards the Jordan. It's the mountains of Judea. And this is where the goat was sent with a red thread on it when it was to take the sins of the people into the wilderness. And it's going to be an earthquake, because you will flee from before the earthquake as the days. It shall be similar. It'll be like that in the days of Uzziah the king, that earthquake. And the Lord shall come, and it shall come to pass that the light shall not be clear nor dark. It sounds to me like the earth is going to be stopped in its rotation. It's literally going to be stopped, because there's going to be an extended, it's not day or night. Because at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be, verse 8, in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem. Ah, so there's going to be an underwater aquifer that's going to spring forth. And there are underwater aquifers in the pool of Gihon and Siloam in Jerusalem. But this shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them, half of the waters towards the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea. That would be the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. In other words, there'll be a constant flow. It won't dry up and stop. That's going to be a lot of water. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. There shall be one Lord and his name one. This is the millennial kingdom will have been established. And all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the gate, place of the first gate unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's winepress. Now, over Jerusalem right now, it's very rocky and mountainous, and therefore in that day when this earthquake comes, it shall be made a plain, which is a very interesting idea, because the whole Israel is a very active seismic area, and there are many maps from ancient times, and sometimes the scriptures will state, well, it looked like this and that, but even Jerusalem is not like it was. It's changed. The archaeological structures is being rebuilt and raised, and the mountains have been cleft, and there's been new valleys, etc. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. Nuclear. Meltdown. Melt, the flesh literally melts off of the people, those that have fought against Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass, verse 13, in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold, everyone, on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. We can see that happening certainly now between East and West Jerusalem, Arab Palestinians and Jews. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all heathen around about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. What plague is this? Where their flesh will consume while they are standing. It will turn to bones. Verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. If the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Wow. So they're still heathen. And in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein, that is, boil whatever cook. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of the hosts. Who's the Canaanite? Who is the Canaanite? Who has the blood of the Canaanite? Who has the DNA that's been mixed, the seeds, the mixing of the seeds, the giants, the Canaanites, the Amorites, anyway. That. All right, the theme of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, the return of the King, and the establishment of his kingdom. Let's look at Jude 11, verse 11. They have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. In other words, they said it to get gain. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried away about of winds, trees whose fruits wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Where do we see this? Up above, in Zechariah 14, the Lord comes with all of his saints. He comes to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. In other words, they're trying to take advantage by their great words. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken of by spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after, okay, their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let's look at what Second Peter chapter 3 says. First, understand this. During the last days, scoffers will come following their own desires and asking, where is the promise of his coming of his? For our fathers have died and everything goes on just as it has since the beginning of creation. But wanting so much to be right about this, they overlook the fact that it was by God's word that long ago there were heavens and there was land which arose out of water and existed between the waters, and that by means of these things the world of that time was flooded with water and destroyed. It is by that same word that the present heavens and earth have been preserved and are being kept for fire until the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. Who's going to be destroyed? The ungodly. Moreover, dear friends, do not ignore this. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some people think of slowness. On the contrary, he is patient with you, for it is not his purpose that anyone should be destroyed, but that everyone should turn from his sins. However, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will disappear with a roar. Sounds atomic to me. The elements, sounds atomic to me, will melt and disintegrate, and the earth and everything in it will be burned up. Since everything is going to be destroyed like this, what kind of people should you be? You should lead holy and godly lives as you wait for the day of God and work to hasten its coming. That day will bring on the destruction of the heaven by fire, and the elements will melt from the heat. But we, following along with his promise, wait for the new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness will be at home. Therefore, dear friends, as you look for these things, do everything you can to be found by him without spot or defect and at peace. And think of our Lord's patience as deliverance, just as our dear brother Shaul also wrote you, following the wisdom God gave him. All right. That is Peter's exhortation to us that are living in the last days. In addition, let's look at this return, the return of the King, Revelation 19:11. And these are all scriptures that have the same theme. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon him in white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And all he has on his vesture and on his thigh name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, since we referred in these two prior passages in Enoch and 1 Peter, and actually, reflectively, I would say possibly in the Zechariah 14 chapter, to the book of Enoch in the first chapter, I'm going to finish by reading that passage. It is not included in the canon of Scripture, but was included in some other books. The canon of Scripture from the King James. Let me qualify that. Now, this particular version of Enoch, the first book of Enoch, is called Chanok, the Sky Tripper. It's the True Names version. It's taken the Coptic notes, the English translations of Isaac and Lawrence, and the latest editions of the Dead Sea Scrolls, in which the editor excised redundancies and clarified errors, yet leaving the technical terms of Hebrew standing. Translated and interpreted by Jackson H. Snyder in 2009. Now we are going to look at, I'm going to give you some of the English words, because he has the Hebrew words. Here we go. This is book one, Marot and Mashalim of Chanok or Enoch. Marot and Mashalim are visions and parables or proverbs. The Chatim and the Zidikim. All right. The Chatim are the wicked. All right, and Mark missers or Torah sinners, and the Tzedekim are the righteous ones. These are the words of Chanuk's blessing with which he blessed the Becharim are the chosen or the elect ones, and the Tzedekim who will be living in the day of trouble when all the wicked and devilish are to be removed. He took up his mashal. The mashal is, I'm looking for it, please bear with me. The mashal, the parable, and said, Chanuk, a tzaddik, a righteous, Enoch the righteous, whose eyes were opened by Elohim, saw the vision of the Kadosh, that is the Holy One, Kadosh One in the skies, the Holy One in the skies. The Malachim, the supernatural messengers or angelic beings. The Malachim showed me. I heard everything from them, and I understood what I saw, not for this family, but for a remote generation, one that is to come. I spoke about the Baharim, the chosen ones, the elect ones, and took up my mashal, my proverb, concerning them. El Shaddai HaKadosh, that is El Shaddai the Holy, will come forth from his dwelling, and the timeless Elohim will tread out the land, even upon Mount Sinai, and appear from his camp in the strength of his might, from the Shemayah, what's the Shemayah? The heavens of the skies. He will smite all with fear, even the Irim will quake. The Irim is the messengers, the watcher messengers. Great horror and trembling will seize them to the ends of the earth. This is a great earthquake. For the high mountains will be shaken, and the high hills will be made low, and all of it will melt like wax before the flame. He will tear land completely in half. All upon it will perish. A sentence will be on all. But he will make shalom, peace, with the Tzedekim, the righteous. He will protect the Baharim, the chosen ones, and mercy will be upon them, for they will belong to El, to God. They will prosper and bless, and he will help them all. Light will appear to them, and he will make shalom with them. Look, he comes with 10,000s of his Kadoshim, his holy ones, to execute justice upon all, and to destroy all the chataim, what's that, the wicked, to convict all basar, What's basar? Meat, flesh, carnal. It's like all the carnal. Of all the works of their disobedience that they have committed in disobedience, and of all the hard things, the chata, what's the chata? The mark missers, criminals, Torah missers, criminals have spoken against him. Praise God, hallelujah. God cannot be suppressed, nor the words of those who have followed after and walked after him. Enoch walked with God and pleased God, and he was taken up. Bless you.